And everyone, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk. My name is Mike Lindholm, and we are brought to you by the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. The Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls. For more information on the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland, visit them today on Facebook. And of course, today I am coming to you live from the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland once again. Big thanks to them for having me back. And right now, we're just going to jump right into it. On Halloween, the Washington Capitals were in Florida to face the Florida Panthers. The lineup was Alex Ovechkin with Evgeny Kuznetsov and TJ Oshie, Marcus Johansson with Nicholas Backstrom and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Jay Beagle and Andre Burakovsky, and Brooks Like with Chandler Stephenson and Tom Wilson. Defensive pairings were Orpik with Carlson, Alzero Niskanen, and Orlov with Schmidt, and Philip Grubauer got the start. In the first period, all there were just two penalties, both on the Caps. Jay Beagle was called for tripping at 1:38, and then Carl Alzner for hooking at 13:41. Then going into the second period, Florida's Eric Gudbranson was called for holding 42 seconds into the period, but then at 2:47, UC Jokinen scored his third goal of the season from Dave Bullen and Alex Petrovic for Florida to take the 1-0 lead. Then at 16:07 into the second period, Connor Brickley was called for interference for Florida. The analysis for these first two periods was the first 40 minutes were not the best for the Caps, as they were not playing at their best. However, near the end of the period, the second period, the Caps' fourth line played potentially the best shift of the first 40 minutes, with Al Montoya standing on his head to keep the 1-0 lead for the Panthers. Then, going into the third period, Jay Beagle ties the game up at 2:23 with his second of the season, with assists from Alex Ovechkin and Justin Williams, both their six assists each for the season. Then at 7:03 into the third, Jay Beagle was called for tripping. Then going into overtime, Evgeny Kuznetsov netted his fifth goal of the season in OT, assisted by Dmitry Orlov and Alexander Ovechkin in the Caps' first foray into 3-on-3 overtime. Caps won 2-1 with shots even at 27 apiece. Caps won 5 more faceoffs in Florida with 30-25. Caps had 35 hits to the Panthers' 34, and the power plays for both teams were 0-for-2 and 0-for-3, respectively. The third period was slightly better for the Caps. Trotz, who wanted more out of his lineup, shook up the line, so a grinder was on each line, and it paid off early as Jay Beagle scored his second goal of the season. Florida did a coach's challenge on the goal but were unsuccessful, this being also the third time that a coach's challenge has been done against the Capitals. The game would then go into overtime for the first time this season for the Caps, and the Russian trio of Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Orlov delivered. Judging by the first 40 minutes, the Caps did not deserve to win this game, but they persevered and won in overtime. With the New York Rangers up next, the Caps need to come to MSG with their A game. And with that said, we're going to go to November 3rd, the Washington Capitals at the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden. The lineup for the Capitals was first line Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Oshie, second line Johansson, Backstrom, and Williams, third line Chimera, Beagle, and Burakovsky, with the fourth line comprising Brooks Like, Chandler Stephenson, and Tom Wilson. The defensive pairings were Orpik and Carlson, Alzner, Niskanen, and Orlov with Schmidt. And Braden Holtby was the starter. And going into the first period, Oscar Lindberg scored his sixth goal of the season, assisted by Kevin Hayes and Victor Stahlberg, to give the New York Rangers a 1-0 lead, 7:59 into the first. Then at 15:45, Alexander Ovechkin scored his sixth goal of the season, assisted by Nate Schmidt on what was a very nice 2-on-1 play and a very good pass by Schmidt to get Ovechkin on the board. Then at 17:46, Kevin Hayes scored his third of the season, assisted by Oscar Lindberg and Mark Stahl, to take a 2-1 lead for the New York Rangers. Then at 19:42, Jan Girardi was called for hooking. At the end of the first, it was Rangers 2, the Washington Capitals 1. Shots were 9-8 Rangers, faceoffs 8-5 Rangers, hits 12-10 Rangers. The Rangers did not have a power play, and the Washington Capitals' first one was currently in progress. It was a well-paced first period, but minor lapses costed the Caps as the Rangers were able to get two goals on the board. Great pinch-ups by both John Carlson and Nate Schmidt throughout the period to create scoring chances and ultimately the goal that Ovechkin scored. In the second period, the Caps need to start off with a power. If they get to start off that power play, and they need to capitalize to bring the momentum to their side. Going into the second period at 1:53, Kevin Klein scores his third goal of the season, assisted by Derek Brassard, which brings the Rangers' lead to 3-1. And then Derek Brassard scores his fourth of the season, which was unassisted, 6:59. Then Oscar Lindberg was called for high sticking at 10:14. And then Marcus Johansson scored his third goal of the season, assisted by Carl Alsner and Justin Williams at 18:53. At the end of the second, the Rangers led 4-2. The shots were 22-11 Washington, which the Washington Capitals outshot the Rangers 14-2. But I'll get to that point a little bit later. Faceoffs were 16-13 Capitals. Hits were 24-16 Rangers. And the Caps were 0-2 on the power play, while the Rangers had yet to have one. For all the good the Caps did this period, they did a lot wrong, too. They started the second with a power play, and they could not capitalize at all, and then the Rangers score as soon as it ended. The Caps then had three really great shifts, but couldn't capitalize when the Rangers kept icing the puck and tired themselves out. The most astonishing thing about this period is that the Caps outshot the Rangers 14-2 this period, and the Rangers scored two goals. The Caps' coverage in their own zone has been very lackluster. Also, with about 5 minutes left in the second, Ovechkin had a golden opportunity to score, but instead of shooting once he got the puck, he skated in and ultimately killed what was a promising scoring opportunity. In the third period, Brooks Orpik was called for hooking at 8:49, and then Jarrett Stahl scores his first goal of the season for the Rangers from Keith Yandle and Kevin Klein at 10:53. The New York Rangers won the game 5-2. Shots were 34-22 Washington, faceoffs 31-21 Washington, hits 35-22 New York, and on the power play, the Caps were 0-2 to the Rangers 0-1. Despite playing it great in the offensive zone all game, it was their play in the neutral zone and defensive zone that killed them this game. Turnovers were too many, and it resulted in multiple scoring chances for the Rangers. Henrik Lundqvist came up with some huge saves to earn the win, and the Rangers made every opportunity count. And again, Ovechkin held the puck for longer than he needed to and didn't shoot when he got to the top of the faceoff circle. The Caps need to clean up the game going back home when they face the Bruins on 11-5. And with that, we are going to go to break, and when we actually come back, we are going to be joined by a member of the Buffalo Buttes from the National Women's Hockey League. Want some pre-Thanksgiving fun? Then come to VA Comic-Con at the Richmond Raceway on November 21st and 22nd. Come see special guests like Bob Gale, the creator of Back to the Future, Marina Sirtis, who is from Star Trek The Next Generation, Trina Nishimura from Attack on Titan, and Walter Jones from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and of course, many, many more. For more information on the big two-day show, please visit vacomiccon.com. That's vacomiccon.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey fans. And joining me now from the Buffalo Buttes, number 77 forward, Haley Williams. Haley, welcome to the show. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Now, of course, with this season being the inaugural season of the National Women's Hockey League, I just want to know, how did you hear about the league?
Well, right when the league was announced, it was kind of like if you were a women's hockey player, you did not know about it.
Really? And I read an article that apparently your mom was the one who texted you it?
Yeah, I was in Florida for spring break, and I went back to the hotel, and I looked at my phone, and my mom, all it said was FYI in the link to the press release that was announcing the league, and yeah, so my mom was the first person to tell me about it, actually.
And how did you get your tryout for an NWHL contract?
On the NWHL site, they have you sign up for the tryouts, and then you can also sign up for the draft. I actually had a year left of eligibility at Miami, so I signed up for both. And I got invited to three of the tryouts, Buffalo, New York, and Connecticut. And I ended up having offers from Buffalo, New York, and I decided to skip my last year of eligibility and just go straight to Buffalo.
And from what, if I read this right, you actually only had two more classes left and you did that over the summer, which made you skipping that year of eligibility a lot easier to
No,
make.
yeah, that was a little bit of an error
Oh, in the
in the
article?
article. Yes, I'm still in classes right now. I'm gonna graduate in May.
Gotcha. Now, you picked Buffalo over New York and Connecticut.
Yes.
Up in Buffalo, what is the atmosphere like?
It's amazing. It's I think that being a smaller community than New York City, and the hockey culture in general is huge there already, that I think Buffalo is the town to be in for this for sure. The fans are amazing. We packed the Harbor Center, which is an 1,800 capacity for our opening game. It was awesome being there in front of all those fans and seeing their passion for the game, as well as bringing our passion out to show them that we can give them a good show.
Now, I have ranted about this on a past episode. Actually, when the league did its debut, the NHL did a post about the NWHL debuting. There's a lot of articles. John Buchagras put the NWHL on SportsCenter. But the Washington Post didn't do anything. They didn't even do a blurb, and I kind of went after them for their lack of coverage and their coverage on the Caps alone as well. How supportive has the local media been to the Buttes and the NWHL?
Oh, we have tons of media at our games. They're always trying to contact us, doing interviews, writing articles. They want to be just as involved as we want to be involved with them. So it's really good we're working together, because it's kind of like a cross promotion type thing where we can help them, they can help us, and it's good for both of us.
And speaking of support systems, what type of support have the Buffalo Sabres provided to the Buttes?
We're working on it. We're working on it.
Because we've seen the stuff with MSG where some of the Riveters have shown up to
Yeah.
the Ranger games.
Oh, actually, as a matter of fact, I don't know too many details of it. I do know that they're doing a promotional type thing tonight at the game. I'm actually in New York City right now for work, but I know that I think seven of my teammates are going to the game tonight, and a few of them going up in the box. So that actually is something happening tonight.
Right. And of course, for all those who are listening, because it's Saturday, this is Thursday.
I meant that happened on Thursday, and since it's Saturday, no, wait.
It's all
We're trying to trick
right.
them, I forgot.
We're doing trick podcasting here.
Yes.
And, speaking of the season, right now you're on the Four Nations break.
Yes.
Buffalo is 0-3 right now, but it's still very early in the season. What has the building process been like in regards to building team chemistry?
The team chemistry building is fast. You never know how it's going to be when you go into a team. I think all of us coming in all have the same excitement and the same mentality about the game and the league, and we know what we're here for, and we know that there's a lot more work than just fun and games, even though it is still fun and games, and we know that we need to work together, and I think that that helps us bond more and work together better. I know that a record of 0-3 is, maybe some people think that that's a, like, shows how we are off the ice, but that's not at all. Each game we progress and we get better, and it's just good. It's positive.
Yeah, because I believe the second week the Riveters got dominated 7-1 by Boston, but the very next game that the Riveters played, they played a much better game, showing that, it's still early phases.
Yep, for all the teams, and having only one game a weekend is also, it's difficult, but I mean that's what we have, and that's what we're going to take, and we're going to work with it.
And speaking about the one game a week, would you prefer it Saturday over Sunday, or Sunday is perfect?
I'd play hockey every day if I could. I have a game every day, but if you're asking my preference honestly, then I'd probably choose Saturday, because then we get a day off on Sunday. Not that we don't get the adequate rest, but I'm just saying a day to recover after our game Saturday, and just Sunday be able to get ready for the week.
Because, I mean, most of you probably still have to, you know, probably have day jobs that you do.
Right.
And stuff like that. And as you said, that you're taking classes as well. Mm-hmm. So, and not only that, but for me, as many know, as they've been hearing with the plugs on the podcast, I do conventions. So for me, traveling around is a big thing for me. So I haven't been able to watch any games yet. Because,
oh, really?
Yeah, because it's like, one weekend I'm in, you know, Southern Maryland in the middle of nowhere with no reception and can't see the games. And then the next weekend it's like I'm in Richmond or something. So,
well, the good news is they're still on YouTube. All you have to do is Google them and they're still on there.
Yes, they are. And of course, not only that, but with the Hockey Shift app, it's a really good app to keep track of the games as well.
Yeah, some live updates there.
Yep. So now, like, we were talking about this off the air about, you know, how we do the interviews in a little bit. I'm actually going to flip the script now. What do you want to talk about?
Well, right now, my mind is on this conference that I'm at. I'm an event planner. So I am at a conference with a bunch of doctors and a bunch of medical companies, and it's good to get away and talk about hockey, actually. I'm kind of excited that I'm talking about hockey now.
And when you say that, like, which type of hockey, you know, right now, I mean, I have this on in the background because I need to be watching it for later in the show, but I've got the Caps Bruins on.
Yeah.
You know, who's your team of preference?
Oh, the Blackhawks, for sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I rooted for them to win the cup.
You did?
All three times.
Is that a little bandwagon-y of you?
No. Actually, here's the thing. It's an interesting thing when it comes to hockey. I mean, obviously, the Washington Capitals are my team.
Mm-hmm.
But I also recognize who the good teams are.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, go Caps. And then as soon as the Caps get knocked out of the playoffs, I just turn off the television.
Right.
No, there's still more hockey. And there are teams that are really legitimately good, like the Blackhawks, like the Kings.
Yeah.
And the rivalries that are built in the playoffs are just really amazing.
Yeah, and there's no better hockey than playoff hockey, that's for sure.
Okay, you're a Blackhawks fan. I got to throw this out there. 2 years in a row, St. Louis and Chicago face each other in the playoffs. Both series. St. Louis gets a 2-0 lead with the same scores as the previous year, and then the exact same thing happens to them in 6 games overall. How weird was that watching that as a Blackhawks fan? Because you have it where it's like, oh, it's the same scores game one last time. St. Louis won it as well, and then it just went the same way 2 years in a row.
It's really interesting, right? It's like things like that where you wish that you were a gambler. You can place a bet and say, I bet you the same thing happens this year as last year, and you win a bunch of money.
Yeah. Now, because let's shift it to Blackhawks some more. What do you think of the Blackhawks this season? Do you think with some of the changes that they did, getting rid of Sharp and Oduya, what type of impact has that been? Also trading Sod away to Columbus. What do you think has been the impact on the Blackhawks so far?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the core guys are still together on the team, but they did lose a lot of impact players. I mean, every year you're going to have to build new chemistry, even if it's just one player that's new or lost. So I think that, you know, no matter what they have to overcome now, I think that they are going to get through it, and they know how to win, they know how to play, and I think that they'll be fine coming together.
Now, for growing up, how young were you when you first started getting into hockey?
I was 2 when I started skating and 4 when I started playing hockey.
Yeah, you beat me on that one. I was 5 when I started skating and a month before my 6th birthday when I started playing ice hockey.
Nice.
So,
you were born and raised?
Oh, yeah. My father's diehard Flyers.
Oh, really?
My father was like 9 or 10 when the Flyers came into the league.
Oh, wow. Did he play hockey?
Yeah, he played. Never pro, but he still played, and I got that from him.
Yeah.
And I got the Philly attitude as well.
Yeah.
The Broad Street Bullies. I play in a gym league now. And I go out there and I go into the boards and I start board battling people. And they're like, Mike, you got to loosen up. You got to loosen up. It's like, no, screw you. I'm getting this ball.
You can be a different person on the court and on the ice. You're good.
So, but now you have a pretty good collegiate career that you've had. You were a first team All-American.
Mm-hmm.
And you were third in the nation in scoring.
Yep.
What was it like having those type of accolades in college? Because that's something I never got to have to do.
Yeah. I think that was one of the reasons why I decided to skip my last year. I thought that I had made it as high as I can go in that league, and I wanted to challenge myself more, and I sure am doing that now. I mean, the accolades were great. It was fun to be noticed and everything, but I got my fix, and I wanted more. I wanted more of a challenge.
Now, what's women's hockey like in college?
It's...
Because, I mean, I've watched college hockey for men all the time, like with the Frozen Four, but I've never been able to... It's not televised.
Yeah,
you know, I never see it. So what's it like with women's hockey, like on the ice, the on-ice product?
It's good. It's good hockey. You see the girls playing now in the league. I know you haven't seen a game yet, but...
I'm all trying
these girls,
to.
Yeah. All the girls in the league, they played college hockey, and they are good players. Like, this is good hockey. It's physical. It's fast. It's things that people want to see. People have fun watching it, and it's fun playing it.
How many hits do you have this season?
That's the thing. Checking is not allowed in women's hockey. But... The NWHL is a little different. I was telling these guys that I was talking to recently the same thing. It's kind of like an unwritten rule that we're allowed to, you know? It's just kind of, it's more for the fans, I think. People want to see the hits, so the penalties are getting kind of looked over when the hits happen.
Yeah, because I've looked and... Because I do the game breakdowns every week, and, you know, there's a lot of power plays. I think one of the games last weekend, there is, like, nine power plays overall, plus a penalty shot.
I'm saying because those are more tripping, hooking, those types of penalties. Some roughing, but not many.
Well, I mean, not necessarily, like, hitting in general for the penalties, but it's like, man, there's – you ladies – you play rough.
Yeah,
in general.
Yeah, no, we're killers out there. We're beasts.
I need to if you ever do a press game, let me know. I'll come up and be a sacrificial lamb.
All right, I'll let you know.
Now you probably have heard of the podcast, but you probably haven't listened to the podcast yet.
Right.
But in episode 2, I did the NWHL debut preview. Uh-huh. And I did 4 players, one from each team, of who to watch. My Buffalo Buttes player was actually you.
Uh-huh.
So it's actually full circle that I go, hey, this is a player to watch. And now you're on the show.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now, with that said, sell yourself. Tell the people why you should be the player to watch on the Buffalo Buttes.
Oh boy.
A little showmanship here.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the people listening to this podcast should go to the game and see why they decide who they want to watch. I think that I think the talent across the board is, I mean, it's, there's not very much differentiation between it. I think that if, you know, one player doesn't make or break a game. And I'm not talking about myself at all. I'm talking about anybody in general. That's why there's five players on the ice. That's why there's a goalie. I don't know. I think that everybody's a player to watch. It's everybody has their strengths. And yeah, I think that it's, I think that everybody should be watched for sure.
Share it a level round. A true team player. Now, last question for you. Gotta ask. Number 77.
Yes.
Why that number?
Okay, well, going back to the last question, if you were going to ask why somebody should buy my jersey, because I'm number 77. So if they don't know whose jersey to buy, go to nwhl.co and buy my jersey, number 77, because who wouldn't want to rock number 77, right?
Right. Now, but you didn't answer the question.
I know.
Why 77?
Well, my number all my life was 21 growing up and through high school. When I got to Miami, it was taken. So I had to choose a different number, and I didn't really have another favorite number, and I was just trying to figure out, I was trying to have a more unique number, and I thought double digits, but I didn't want, I started from the top. So like 99, that's Gretzky, so I couldn't take his number. 88, Patrick Kane from the Blackhawks, couldn't take his number. And I thought 77.
Adam Oates, Ray Bourque.
Yeah, I know, but they're not, you know, they're not Blackhawks. You know, they're not from my team. Obviously, there were 77s that were well known for sure, but that was kind of, it kind of spoke to me. And I actually had the opportunity to be 21 this year on the Buttes, and I chose 77 over 21.
Very nice. Well, Haley, it's been a pleasure. Hope we get to do this again.
Me too. I hope so.
And we'll be back from the break. The Experience Hockey Talk is brought to you by DerbyCon. DerbyCon, which is December 4th through 6th at the Hyatt Morristown in Morristown, New Jersey. Come see special guests like Karel Strukin, Richard Hatch, Michael H. Hansen, and many others. For more information, please visit DerbyCon.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey Fan. We are coming to you live from the Tilde Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. And once again, we want to thank Haley Williams of the Buffalo Buttes of the National Women's Hockey League for her interview on Thursday, which was recorded on Thursday. And also, speaking of Thursday, the Washington Capitals were back at home against the Boston Bruins. Their lineup was Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Oshie, Johansson, Backstrom with Williams, Jason Chimera with Jay Beagle and Andre Burakovsky, Rokslake with Michael Latta and Tom Wilson. The defensive pairings were Orpik and Carlson, with Alsner with Niskanen, and Orlov with Schmidt and Braden Holtby as the starter. In the first period, Michael Latta was called for tripping at 10:55, and then on that power play, the Boston Bruins scored by Jimmy Hayes, getting his fourth of the season, assisted by Brett Connolly and Colin Miller. Then, at 12:52, Torrey Krug of the Boston Bruins was called for delay of game. Then, Alexander Ovechkin scored his seventh goal of the season at 17:27, assisted by Evgeny Kuznetsov and John Carlson, both of which getting their ninth assist of the season. Credit to Mike Vogel for helping me gather the stats for this period. Boston and Washington were tied at 1 apiece. Shots were 14-9 Washington. Faceoffs were 12-11 in Boston. Hits were 11-7 Washington. And the power play was Boston was 1-for-1 and Washington was 0-for-1. It was a good first period for the Caps. Giving up a goal while a man down was not good, but Ovechkin powering them back into it before the end of the second period, or end of the first period, to gain momentum going into the second period. And then going into the second period, Rokslake scores his first goal of the season, assisted by Dmitry Orlov and Michael Latta at 4:10. Then Jimmy Hayes was called for slashing at 6:10, and Brad Marchand was called for roughing at 6:52, which put the Washington Capitals on a 5-on-3 power play, which they capitalized on when John Carlson scored his third goal of the season at 7:21, assisted by Nicholas Backstrom and Justin Williams. Then Tyler Randall and Michael Latta were both called for fighting at 13:07. And then Oshie was called for interference at 13:26. Then Boston took a bench minor for too many men on the ice at 19:49. At the end of the second period, the Washington Capitals were up 3-1, with the shots being 23-22 Washington, where Boston outshot Washington 13-9 in the second period. Faceoffs were 26-24 Boston. Hits were 19-17 Washington. And on the power play, Boston was 1-for-2 and Washington was 1-for-3, with the fourth one currently in progress going into the third period. The Capitals played a better second period than they did the other night against the Rangers. The Caps capitalized on a key 5-on-3 power play and got themselves a garbage goal to give them a 3-1 lead. Also, Michael Latta getting the first fight of the season for the Washington Capitals. Then the third period, Cole Alzner scored an unassisted empty net goal, his first of the season, to clinch the win for the Washington Capitals. The Washington Capitals won 4-1, with the shots being 31-29 Washington. The faceoffs were 39-29 the Boston, and the hits were 25 apiece, with Boston being 1-for-2 on the power play and Washington being 1-for-4 on their power play. Overall, a much better game for the Capitals, and they get the win for their efforts. The third period was a very quiet period, with a very good period for both the Bruins and the Caps. This game was physical, and it had great emotion to it. Definitely a good bounce-back game for the Capitals, especially going into the road ahead. And speaking of the road ahead, coming up next for the Washington Capitals is today, Saturday, November 7th. They are at home against the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are currently 2-9-2. They recently lost to the Detroit Red Wings last night in overtime, 2-1. And speaking of Detroit, we play the Detroit Red Wings in Detroit on Tuesday, November 10th. Detroit is currently 7-5-1 after their win yesterday. Then on Thursday, November 12th, the Washington Capitals are in Philadelphia for their first meeting against the Philadelphia Flyers, who are currently 4-6-3. And then on Friday, 11-13, good old Friday the 13th, the Washington Capitals are back home taking on the Calgary Flames, who are currently 4-9-1. And this will be the second and final meeting between the Washington Capitals and Calgary Flames. And with that, we'll be back with the Tilted Kilt Girls Roundtable, where we'll be discussing certain topics throughout the week in hockey.
Tilted Kilt Girl Brittany here. Need a place to watch the game? Come to the Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Tilted Kilt Frederick, home of the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls. Come to the best-looking sports pub you've ever seen for all your Washington Capitals games viewing pleasure. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk. We are not going to be the most serious at this time right now, because joining me right now, and we're going to have fun, we got Tilda Kilt Girls, Carla, Brittany, and Elise. Ladies, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we're going to do a little round table here, and Carla is already busting out laughing. It's okay, Carla. It's okay.
I know.
I wrote down a couple topics, and we're going to try to have a conversation about these topics. I'm going to start off with this past Thursday night against the Boston Bruins. The Washington Capitals had their very first fight of the season, which had an article that day that's saying that fighting is on a decline. Me, personally, from a hockey player perspective, I've been in 17 ice hockey fights. They are good, in my opinion. They shouldn't go away, because it's good for swinging the momentum if your team's getting beat, or if you're just standing up for your teammate. Like, if someone takes a shot at Ovi or Nicholas Backstrom, I expect to see Tom Wilson or Michael Latta stepping up and knocking the guy in the next week. What are your opinions, Carla, since you're already ready to talk?
I believe that it's a good idea, because it shows the difference between the other sports and hockey. That's hockey being one of the only sports that allows it.
Yep.
It works out.
Ladies?
I mean, I agree with Carla. It puts hockey... It makes hockey stand out from other sports.
It does, but, I mean, if you look at lineups now, teams aren't putting in enforcers in the lineup anymore. If you look at Tom Wilson in particular, Tom Wilson is being put on the third line to be a grinder, but also up his offensive production that he had in juniors. Michael Latta, on the other hand, may be expected to fight a little bit more than Wilson nowadays because he's fighting to keep a spot on that roster because it's between him and rookie Chandler Stevenson for that fourth and final spot in the center spot. So it's different nowadays than how it was, you know, in the past decade where enforcers were a bigger thing.
So it's like a dominant?
It can. Not anymore. It's more about finesse now. And I can't play a finesse game to save my life. Carlos. And you know, moving on, we're going to talk about Caps defenseman, John Carlson. Definitely off to the best start of his career. 12 games, he's had 3 goals, 9 assists, 12 points with a +2 rating. Last season, he had 12 goals, 43 assists for 55 points. With what he's on pace to maybe hit 70 to 80 points this season, maybe even more. In an article again this week, it was talking about all the little things that he does to improve himself as a player. As being how you have Dmitry Orlov and Nate Schmidt, who are the younger guys, looking at a guy like him who has literally supplanted himself as the number one guy on that team, who took Mike Green's spot last year. You know, what type of impact do you think that has for those younger guys that, as like a role model as John Carlson is becoming now? Because I mean, edit out.
I can't think of what I was talking about. I can't even talk about it.
It's okay. You're learning.
Yeah, I've never done
this. This is educational. This is why the catchphrase of the show is Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans.
Oh, God.
Because well, people get to learn.
Okay, so those two rookies that you said.
Well, Nate Schmidt would be more considered the rookie than Orlov because Orlov does have a full season. He missed all last season due to a wrist injury. But you also have guys like Connor Carrick and a bunch of others that are coming up through the minor leagues, through the developmental phases of juniors and internationally.
So are you saying they're like looking up to...
They get that essentially what John Carlson has done in his career has improved himself to be a number one guy in about 5-7 years. And he ranked 10th in Norris voting, which is best defenseman in the league. This season, he could potentially be top 5. And what he's done is a great way to elevate himself. Not only that, but to motivate all the other guys to go, I want to be where he is. We're going to talk to a topic, since I am speaking with ladies. The National Women's Hockey League debuted this year. And earlier in the this episode, I had Haley Williams of the Buffalo Buttes on, talking about the league. Because this is the first time ever that women are having a chance to play in a league professionally and be paid to play. What type of impact do you think that has for women all over who love hockey and who, especially for the younger kids, who now have something to look forward to
future? I believe that it encourages them to want to actually step outside their bubble and actually make money off what they like to do. And actually want to be a player than just like a mini league.
Yeah, because throughout my entire career, I've always played with women.
Played with women?
Yeah, with girls, women.
Were you? Yeah, you were.
I had female teammates.
So you were allowed to hit that.
Well, most of the girls end up being on my team. I don't know how that always happened. I guess they knew that I always liked the fight, so they would be like, oh, if the girl gets hit, Mike will just go clobber the guy or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But, it is. But, I had one teammate in particular, really good hockey. She was better than me. I'll openly admit, she was better hockey player than me. But at the time we were playing, she did not have an opportunity to look something to look forward to play. And, you know, she went one path and completely altered her life for the beginning part, mostly negative, but I think it's now gotten a more positive aspect now. But, you know, it's something now that we're, like, little girls who play hockey now, they have something to look forward to. Elise, any thoughts? Miss Quiet?
Well, I think that they should do that with every sport. I thought basketball, but
basketball does have it.
Okay, they do.
WNBA is still strong.
Okay, so
they have it for women's soccer.
They don't have for football, obviously.
Unless you count the lingerie league.
Yeah, right.
Like that.
That's not real.
Well, yet again, the NFL isn't real football either. That's just a variation of rugby. Soccer, which is right here on the screen, the Barclays, that's real football.
That's stable.
My definition of football, it is the sport where you move the ball with your foot and only your foot, and using your hands is not allowed. Definition of football.
Correct.
I studied sports history.
But it just sounds good, so it's okay. If it was called, like, rugby, that would be good.
Rugby's a really cool sport, though. And very scary.
I remember being up in a, being up in New York City.
They don't wear pads and stuff.
I was up in New York City in an Irish pub watching rugby with my dad one time. And I was just like, I don't understand it, but it's so entertaining.
Yes, it is, because it's so intense, and people get into it and, like, continue on, like... just take it so serious.
I saw a video online of a female rugby player. Breaks her nose, goes in, and just slam tackles the opponent. And just goes like, adrenaline kick.
Yeah.
Going back to the National Women's Hockey League...
This is a football podcast.
Not any. Back to my hockey. Back to what I really nerd out about. I think it's great. I think it's horrible that I think I'm the only person in the D.C. metropolitan area that's actually promoting this league.
Oh, people don't promote it?
Washington Post will not do any plugs for the thing. And the big thing is that it's awareness. You need to get word out there that this exists. Because if you don't say, hey, this exists, it's going to die. And I don't want to see that happen. I'd love to get a team down here. Because then I'd be like, hey, I'll do color commentary for the broadcast, you know?
Yeah.
I'll have fun. But then we got one final topic. The Washington Capitals have a game tonight. They play the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are 2-9-2, one of the worst records in the league. But they're not going to be easy to play against. They have a coach in Mike Babcock, who is coming from the Detroit Red Wings, who expects hard work every game and will call you out if you don't. Going into the game, knowing that they're 2-9-2, but they have a hard work ethic, what do you think is a key to the game? And we're going to do four keys, one person per key. What do you think the Capitals, Brittany just went like, no. What key do you think the Caps need to do to win this game?
Keep their head in the game.
All right.
Does that count?
That's Brittany's key to the game. Keep your head in the game. Elise?
Go to Carla first. I need to think on this person.
I believe that they should just, like, stay focused and believe that they're better and that it's just, like, a regular game.
Well, it is a regular game, but 2 points are on the line.
Yeah, but at the same time, they should just not be too nervous and just forget about everything. So, like, if they're less nervous, they're more capable of winning the game at the end tonight.
Elise?
You said this team has the worst record?
One of the worst.
Yeah, so you just keep yourself as thinking, it's just a joke, kind of. It's a joke. But at the same time, it's a serious game, and you're capable of winning, so there's nothing to worry about.
Stay focused. Don't get distracted. Kick their butt.
Maybe get in a fight.
Actually, I don't think Toronto has any fighters.
Fight them for fun.
Pretty much my key to the game is they need to continue their pressure, because the last couple of games they haven't truly been at their best. Yeah, they won against Boston and they got the win against Florida, but you know, that game against the Rangers was ugly. The game against Florida, the first 40 minutes were ugly. The Caps need to come in, start on top. They need to get their power play clicking, because they've only converted on one power play in the past week. Maybe a little bit longer than that. So they need to get their all-around game going in this, because their past week hasn't been the best. And Brittany's just looking at the screen going, what is that? Those are sound bars.
I was trying to see how many people
Do you believe that they should start, the Caps should start off the game playing super hard, or should they start off in a, like...
Like, are they a second half
Unfortunately, they're looking like a second half team, but they can't be a second half team. You got to play a full 60 minutes.
So you believe that they should play hard the whole time?
Yeah. Because it's like...
Yeah, what if they get too tired? Or what if they think...
This is their job.
Yeah, I know. But, like, what if they get too overwhelmed thinking that this is a losing team? Like, no, they're not very good.
I'm pretty sure that the coaching staff is going, like, okay, guys, 2 points. Let's go get 2 points. Let's stick to the script. You know? So I don't think that there'll be any nerves about, what if we lose to a team that's... bottom of the barrel right now.
That happens all the time.
Yeah. Even unexpectedly. Well, actually, a good example is the Philadelphia Flyers.
That's my dad's team.
Yeah, that's my father's team, too. Ooh. The Flyers, my dad says this every year. It's like the Flyers will beat the teams that they're supposed to beat, but they lose to the teams they're supposed to. No. They beat the teams they're supposed to lose to, but they lose to the teams they're supposed to beat.
Correct.
Yeah, it's a flip.
Which is an embarrassment.
But luckily, the Cavs haven't been that way this season so far. So, but with that said, Brittany, Elise, Carla, thank you very much for coming on. When we come back from the break, it'll be news and notes. Ever interested in meeting your favorite athletes or celebrities, or looking for that right memorabilia for your collection? Then come to the CSA Shows in Chantilly, Virginia. For more information, go to csashows.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for the serious hockey fans. Of course, once again, we are coming to you live from the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. And now it is time for news and notes. And starting off with Halloween, Antoine Roussel posted a career-high 3 points, including the game-winning goal at 13:33 of the third period to help the Dallas Stars improve to 9-2-0 by defeating the San Jose Sharks. The Stars equaled their best start to a season in franchise history through the first 11 games, also 9-2-0 in 2006-07 and 1996-97. Also on Halloween, Marc-Andre Fleury denied all 21 shots he faced to record his 40th shutout of his career, and 4 Pittsburgh Penguins found the back of the net to defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. Fleury was also credited with his 14th career assist as well. Fleury is the first goaltender in Penguins history to post a shutout and an assist in the same game multiple times. The only other time was on October 25th, 2014 at the Nashville Predators. Eric Fair scored a shorthanded goal and recorded an assist in his Penguins debut. And also on Halloween, Michael Frolik had his first career hat-trick, which included scoring the game-winning goal with 8.7 seconds left in regulation to lead the Calgary Flames past the Edmonton Oilers. Then on November 1st, the Montreal Canadiens goalie Carey Price was announced as sidelined for 1 week with a lower body injury. Price sustained the injury during Montreal's loss at the Edmonton Oilers on Thursday, 10/29. Then on November 1st, Tomas Fleischmann and David Desharnais each had 3 points to lead the Montreal Canadiens to a 5-1 win over the Winnipeg Jets and to an 11-2-0 record. Also on November 1st, Chris Stewart had 3 points and Frederick Anderson made 40 saves to help the Ducks defeat Nashville Predators 4-2 and earned their second win of the season. Then on November 2nd, the NHL announced that Ottawa Senators forward Mark Stone has been suspended for 2 games without pay for an illegal check to the head of the Detroit Red Wings forward Landon Ferraro during their game in Ottawa on October 31st. Stone will forfeit $37,634.40 as a result of the suspension. Then on November 2nd, Edmonton Oilers center Connor McDavid, who led all rookies with 5 goals, 7 assists for 12 points in 12 games, had been named NHL Rookie of the Month for October. And for Stars of the Month for October, it was Jamie Benn, Carey Price, and David Krejci being named the Stars. First star was Jamie Benn, left wing of the Dallas Stars. Benn shared first in the NHL with 9 goals and led the league with 17 points, all while leading the Stars to a 9-2-0 record to start the season. Then, its second star was Carey Price, goalie of the Montreal Canadiens. Price went 7-2-0 with a 2.01 goals against average and a .936 save percentage and two shutouts to backstop the Canadiens to their best 13-game start in more than 40 years, as well as the top record in the NHL. And the third star was David Krejci, center of the Boston Bruins. Krejci ranked third among skaters with 7 goals, 8 assists for 15 points in 10 contests to power the Bruins to third place in the Atlantic Division. And on November 2nd, James Reimer made 43 saves, and Joffrey Leupold scored 2 second-period goals to help the Toronto Maple Leafs defeat the Dallas Stars 4-1. Also on November 2nd, down 2-1 at the start of the third period, the Chicago Blackhawks scored 3 unanswered goals to defeat the Los Angeles Kings 4-2 and get their 6th consecutive victory on home ice. Then on November 3rd, Boston Bruins forward Chris Kelly is expected to miss 6-8 months after fracturing his left femur in the first period of a 5-3 loss to the Dallas Stars at TD Garden. Kelly left the game 1:40 into the game and was transported to the Massachusetts General Hospital. Kelly had surgery on 11-4. And on 11-4, the Boston Bruins recalled forward Max Talbot as a result of the injury to Chris Kelly. And watching the video of that was very scary, just seeing him go down. And the weirdest part was is that it didn't look like anybody hit him at all. Also on 11-4, the Edmonton Oilers will be without center Connor McDavid after the number one selection in the 2015 NHL draft sustained a long-term upper body injury on 11-3. McDavid went crashing into the inboards after taking a shot on net late in the second period of a 4-2 win against the Philadelphia Flyers at Rexall Place. McDavid fractured his left clavicle and will be out, what is being said, for months. Also on 11-4, St. Louis Blues forward Ryan Reeves has been fined $3,024.19, the maximum allowable under the collective bargaining agreement for roughing Los Angeles Kings forward Anze Kopitar during their game in St. Louis on 11-3. On 11-4, the St. Louis Blues scored 3 consecutive goals in the second period to overcome a 5-2 deficit, and Vladimir Tarasenko scored with 1:06 remaining in overtime to defeat the Chicago Blackhawks. On 11-4, the Pittsburgh Penguins opened the scoring with 3 consecutive goals, including a shorthanded game winner by Eric Fehr at 10:12 of the third period en route to their 5th straight victory. Eric Fehr becomes the first player in NHL history to score a shorthanded goal in each of his first 2 games with a team. On 11-5, Chicago Blackhawks forward Patrick Kane will not face charges for an incident at his house in Hamburg, New York in August, thus ending months of speculation of what was going on, which was nothing happened. On 11-5, Team Canada announced Toronto Maple Leafs coach Mike Babcock as head coach of Team Canada for the 2016 World Cup of Hockey. Babcock's assistant coaches will be Chicago Blackhawks' Joel Quenneville, Boston Bruins' Claude Julien, Washington Capitals' Barry Trotz, and Carolina Hurricanes' Bill Peters. On 11-5, the Montreal Canadiens scored 3 goals in the final period to defeat the New York Islanders 4-1, bouncing back from their first loss on home ice, which was in overtime versus the Ottawa Senators, and improving to 6-0-1 at the Bell Center this season. And then on 11-6, the St. Louis Blues activated defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk off of injured reserve. Shattenkirk had missed the Blues' last 10 games due to a lower body injury. The Blues also signed forward Martin Havlat to a 1-year, 2-way contract worth $600,000 at the NHL level and $200,000 if he's in the American Hockey League. Forward Dana Zubras was released from his professional tryout by the Blues. And then yesterday on 11-6, the Montreal Canadiens unveiled their 2016 Winter Classic jerseys. The legendary CH team crest is sewn on the front in felt, and the usual colors are reversed, with the C in white and the H in red. The logo is a style the Canadiens wore in 1923-24 when they won the Stanley Cup for the first time as members of the NHL. The glow patches sewn on the sleeves evoke the team logo the Canadiens wore during the 1924-25 season, which was Boston's first in the league, to celebrate their standing as world champions. The Montreal Canadiens take on the Boston Bruins in the 2016 NHL Winter Classic on January 1st at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. And then on last night, 11-6, Pittsburgh Penguins forward Pascal Dupuis was taken to the hospital as a precaution prior to their game against the Edmonton Oilers at Rexall Place. The Penguins said Dupuis experienced symptoms that may or may not be related to his blood clot history, and this morning it was announced that test results showed negative. And then on 11-6 last night, Detroit Red Wings forward Henrik Zetterberg scored the 300th goal of his NHL career when the Red Wings defeated the Toronto Maple Leafs 2-1 in overtime. Zetterberg is the fifth player in Red Wings franchise history with 300 goals, 500 assists, and 800 points, joining Gordie Howe, Steve Yzerman, Alex Delvecchio, and Sergei Fedorov. And mentioning Sergei Fedorov, this week in the NHL, Monday, November 9th, is the Hockey Hall of Fame inductions, which include Chris Pronger, Nicholas Lidstrom, Sergei Fedorov, Phil Housley, Andrew Ruggiero, and many others. And I will have more details about that on next week's episode. And with that said, I would like to thank you all for listening to this week's episode. This has been the Experience Hockey Talk with Michael Lindemann. This has been Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey Fans, and we are brought to you by the Tilde Kilt Frederick. The Tilde Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland, come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilde Kilt Girls. For more information on the Tilde Kilt in Frederick, Maryland, visit them on Facebook today. And until next time, we'll see you on the ice.